Amen. Right, we're coming to Song of Solomon chapter 2 today, and to the verse 14. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. I want you to notice the heading in your Bible over this chapter 2. The Church's Hope and Calling. The translators of our Authorized Version had absolutely no difficulty in finding the Church of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, and absolutely no difficulty in the Song of Solomon. You may have heard radio preachers or others, and they make this merely a love story between husband and wife. Well, there may be some lessons here, but no, it's about the church and about the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom. The church is referred to under various analogies, various pictures. She is seen at times as sheep. Here we notice the Lord's address to the church is, O my dove. Now it's used in a double way. It's a bird exemplary of the nature of the church, and it's also a term of great endearment. I don't think that any wife would ever have an objection to her husband saying, O my dove. And here the Lord Jesus is speaking to his bride, to his church. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rocks. Now this is established by the call of the Lord to his church, and at the end of verse 13, you'll notice that there is this invitation. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is an invitation to fellowship. It's an invitation to friendship. And this is the call of the Lord to your heart and to my heart today. Arise. And I'm glad on this Sunday morning that you were able to get the victory over bedclothes, the victory over a Sunday morning lull, and come to the house of God, because you're invited. Indeed, you are commanded. This is a command. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, the Lord here is to woo his church to do so. And he calls her his dove. And from this we learn the deep, intimate love which the Lord has for his church, his bride, his people, and yes, for every individual Christian. And you need to know as a worshiper today, you need to know as you come to the house of God, that this is the Lord's call to you. Arise, come. And he is interested in your communion, your fellowship, and your friendship. Now, the dove is unique in the Bible. It is the only bird that is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And you remember how our Lord Jesus, when he was baptized, that it appeared that the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove descending. And so the dove is used as a picture, a type of the third person of the Trinity, the gentle, sweet messenger of grace. It's the only bird that was a true messenger to Noah when Noah released the raven to discover if the water was descending. Of course, the raven never came back because it was eating on the carnage and the carcasses of the flesh of animals that perished in the flood. But when Noah released the dove, it returned to the ark with an olive leaf, a message that destruction and wrath was over, but the water had not yet fully descended. So the dove is a picture of a true messenger. It's the only bird that was permitted as a sacrifice in the temple for the poor. Those who could not afford a lamb or an ox were permitted to bring a turtle dove, a pigeon, and it was to be used as a sacrifice in the temple. And it's the only bird in the Bible that is used as a type of the church, the people of God, you and me, worshipers, those who are united by faith to the Lord Jesus. And we are commanded to imitate the dove. We are to be a dove-like people. The Lord sent his disciples that he sent them out amongst wolves, but ye are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the people of God who are truly in the church of the Lord Jesus are loved for their dove-like nature. Now, of course, this is a new nature. This is not the nature by which we were born. We are born with the nature of a serpent. There was vice, sin, the poison of sin within our hearts. But now that we are born again, and now that we are regenerate and made to be the people of God by grace, we have this new nature. And we are called to imitate and to act like this harmless dove. Now, this is more than just a legal action or activity. This is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And just as the Holy Spirit descended and came upon our Lord Jesus and equipped him for his life, ministry, and his work as our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is given to you to equip you to live a new life as new creatures. Old things now have passed away and all things have become new. You are no longer the old sinner nature, but you have been given by grace a dove nature. And the Lord, in his desire for fellowship and communion with you, is looking for that new nature flowing in your heart. Now, wherever that nature is bestowed and worked out in your life, the Lord Jesus is delighted. And he says to you, "Arise, come away, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock." But where that nature is absent, where there is anger, wrath, malice, all those things which the Apostle Paul says we are to put away, then we lose the sweet fellowship of our Lord Jesus. Now, I speak here to Christians. I speak to the person who has surrendered his or her life to the Lord Jesus. The dove is the picture of the converted soul. If you're not saved and you're asking, "Does the Lord Jesus love me and love me as I am?" No, the Lord can only love you for Calvary's sake. The Lord will love you because you've been to the cross. You've been washed in the blood and your sins have been dealt with. And you are then given as the gift of God and the power of regeneration, the ministry of the Spirit of God in your heart. But to the Christian, there is this new nature begun. And it was to bestow this new nature that the Lord Jesus saved you, called you, and is calling you today to walk in this newness of light. Now let us dwell today as we look at this type of the church as a dove. Let us see how the Lord delights in the new nature of his people. The Lord delights in your dove-like holiness. That's certainly one absolute fixed truth concerning the dove. The dove is a bird that desires and seeks after purity. Purity is a habit for the dove. It is that instinct which does not even need to be instilled by some kind of training. Purity is its natural course. A dove or a pigeon, their habit is to feed upon pure grain. When I was going to school as a boy, between my home farm and school was a feed mill. It was called Scott's Mill. And they bought a lot of the local farmers' grain, and they brought in grain from all over the world, mixed it and sold it again to the local farming community and so on. And it was a busy place. And as you would walk by, you would see, hear the elevators rumble and the dust rising. But you would also see a flock of pigeons, always busy, buzzing around. And of course, they were just waiting on that opportunity, that spill, that leftover that was uncovered, that they would feed upon the pure grain. Now, if you had gone out to the town landfill, you would see the seagulls, but you wouldn't see the bird, the pigeons, the dove. Because the pigeon's interested in the pure grain, not in the trash, the garbage of the city. As I mentioned, Noah, the difference between the raven and the dove is very, very evident. Now, there is that same difference between the born-again child of God, the one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There is now a new nature that desires the pure grain, the food of truth and righteousness for your soul. And you'll notice the invitation here in this passage. Sometimes it's difficult to preach on these types in full context of the passage, but we must try to do so. And you'll notice here in Solomon 2, verse 14, O my dove that art in the cleft of the rock and the secret of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The Lord looks on, and the Lord sees the new nature of the dove, and wants to hear, and wants to enjoy that fellowship. And as you come to the Lord today, you're seeking truth, you're seeking righteousness, you're seeking to know the Savior, and that's what the house of God is all about. Now, you can easily tell the nature of a man by what he feeds his mind upon. The carnal, sinful man will feed his mind upon the carnal things of this world. That's his desire, that's his lust, that's his first delight. But for the Christian, you have come to the house of God today that you might feed upon the pure grain of God's truth. That's your earnest desire. You come to the house of God sickened by the advertising and the principles and the follies of the world. You've come to seek the Lord and know Him with all your heart. That brings me to think about Philippians chapter 4. And verse 8, where the apostle said to God's people, let me find it here first of all, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so for you and I to be praising, honoring, delighting our Savior as He looks on and seeks our fellowship, this is what we to be feasting and feeding our hearts and our minds upon. You'll notice the result of this, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, the dove is a bird of peace. The Lord is the Lord of peace. And the born-again Christian has also desires for peace. We seek that quiet, undisturbed, one-to-one communion with the Lord. The worldly man wants the noise of the world. The Christian seeks the peaceable, quiet fellowship of the Lord. Now, another thing about the dove is their habit is to drink pure water. Pure grain, but also pure water. Now, there are birds that will drink anything. They will dive into the stagnant pools. They'll go fishing for the creepy crawlies deep down in the waters. They don't seem to mind the muck and the mire. But you'll never see a dove or a pigeon doing that. They will only drink pure water from the fountain. And so the believer, and to the believer, this fountain is the giver of the promises of life. And we come to this fountain again and again and again. In Psalm 46, we're told there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. How do you interpret this? The bird desiring water. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. I interpret it as the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If this is the bird that represents the Holy Spirit and represents the born-again Christian, it represents the Christian seeking the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his or her life. Now that you are saved and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you now have this earnest desire to live a Spirit-filled life, to sanctify, to arouse to godliness. The Lord's voice is, arise, come away. And that could be from any number of things, from the pressing business of the week and the day, the distractions, the worldly griefs. Arise, come away. Let there be this individual, personal, and blessed fellowship between the Lord and his people. Arise to godliness. Come out of the sleep, the slumber of dead, empty religion into the very fullness. And my brother and sister, if you want to know the fullness of God in your life, don't rest. Well, I'm saved. That's enough. No, you will want to be like this dove drinking of the pure water. Romans 8:13, we are given there the exhortation that we can overcome the motions of the flesh by the Spirit. And so we invite and long for the Spirit of God to be at work within our soul, within our heart. The Holy Spirit is also the ministry of joy. You'll notice in this verse, O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Now, the dove or the pigeon is not well known for singing. Indeed, you could say that the pigeon or the dove gives a very mournful sound. And yet the Lord invites that. And he wants the ministry of the dove. He wants to hear the dove singing. As you come into the house of God, the Lord wants to hear your voice of praise. And one thing that marks the Christian is that we mourn over sin. There is a mourning in the voice of the born-again Christian. We lament the sin that abounds and the wickedness that abounds, but also we lament our own sinfulness. We lament the defeats and the failures and the follies of our own hearts. And we come to the Lord that we might sing a new song. We come that we might plead with God for grace, for victory, for help, and for power. And so the cry of true members of the Lord and his church is always for more purity, never less. Never less. You never hear a born-again Christian saying, I want to be less godly, less holy. Rather, it is that I may be more sanctified, more Christ-like, and we mourn when we don't. Another thing I've learned about the dove or the pigeon is that they are faithful to their mates. A pigeon will take up with another for life. They will raise their families together year by year. And they are mates for life. They are loyal one to the other. What a picture of the Christian and the child of God and the Lord Jesus. We are the Lord's people. There is born within us this spirit of loyalty. We love him because he first loved us. And there are many other attractions and many other calls, many other things that would say to us, arise, come away. And there are things that would keep us from God and keep us from the gospel and keep us from the house of God. But there is this new loyalty, this new marriage contract between Christ and his bride, the church. And we love him and we seek to be ever faithful unto him. A dove, one other mark of the dove, and that is that they have pure appearance at all times. Did you ever see a dirty dove? Did you ever see a dirty pigeon? Well, there'd be a rare exception. You would say, boy, that it must have been attacked by a cat. It must have been really driven into the mud pile if it has come out so dirty. By nature, they are not like that. Rather, they want to appear at all times clean. I found a little verse in Psalm 68:13, which says, though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. What beautiful markings the dove or pigeon has. And what a variety of markings. All to present her in appearance as attractive and presentable. And so a Christian, a born-again Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, a Christian who is living the life of a dove unto God, will be concerned about appearances, will be concerned about their outer testimony and character. After all, we are commanded to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, many people call this hypocrisy, and they get upset with Christians when we talk about the appearance of things and adorning the gospel with holiness and godliness and righteousness and true living, walking in the light. And they say that's but hypocrisy. Well, of course, it would be hypocrisy if you talk about those things, but you don't live it and you don't have the nature of a dove. But it's because you have a new nature, and it's because you desire such things that you can agree with the exhortation to depart or abstain from all appearance of things. Now, this comes very close to practical Christianity in Canada today, because there's a form of, I'm even ashamed to say it, evangelical Christianity. Those, and I'm not, I have no right to say that they are not saved or not truly born again, but they've fallen into the trap of the Christian biker mentality. You know, that you can reach people with a Harley Davidson by riding a Harley Davidson and with the very attire, the tattoos and the long hair and everything else that goes along with it. In the so-called emergent church, there's the very same attitude. You reach the world by getting down to the level of the world. Well, the spirit-filled Christian will be so grieved by the world, so longing to be delivered from the world, that he or she will be yearning to be anything but taken in appearance to belonging to that crowd. There is a yearning for holiness and separation along the way. That brings me to my second point here today. I have four, by the way, and I know it's hot, and I know that this is Sunday morning service. Sometimes on Sunday evenings I can take a little bit of extra liberty and preach an extra few minutes and get away with it. But I'm not so sure about that Sunday mornings, because you know, before you know it, Don will be up and out the door. And who knows, others might follow after him. So I need to press on here with this aspect. The Lord delights in your dove-like harmlessness. I make this a new category, for it is not the nature of the dove to attack. The dove is a defenseless bird. The only thing it can do is fly to its perch and wait there. The dove is not a bird of war, but rather it is a messenger of peace. And that is the whole ministry of the Christian. Now, if you know anything about church history and the battles and the issues that the Protestant Reformation and others have come through to stand for Christ, and the Inquisition and the persecution, the blood that flowed, you will know that Christians have submitted to the fate of death, singing the praises of God, praying for their enemies. And I come back to that little verse that we read this morning, where David said when he stood before Goliath, that this assembly shall know that God worketh not by spear or sword, for the battle is the Lord's. The church of the Lord Jesus does not use carnal weapons, but we have spiritual weapons. We have the weapons of worship, the weapons of spiritual warfare. And I want to call you today to use these spiritual weapons, because believe me, we're in a battle. The church is in a tremendous battle today for its very existence. It's under threat, and we are like that dove with enemies around, and we by our nature are harmless, helpless. And we need to learn to use those spiritual weapons which have been given to the true church of the Lord Jesus. Now, what are these weapons? Well, let me hold one up here. Here it is. Here's a weapon. This is our defense, the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 6, you're given the Christian armor, and you're to take this sword of the Spirit and wield it. And you have a great command to equip yourself in this word. Now, as I was going out around doors this last week, giving out invitations to our Vacation Bible School, I came to a home where I will have what I will call reverse cult psychology. And I knocked the door, and as soon as I talked a little bit and I said, we're here to present the gospel and so on, this lady called her husband. And out came this large man to the door. And to call a long story short, he said, "Where's your Bible?" And I said, "Well, I have a Matthew's gospel here." But he says, "Where's your Bible?" And he says, "You don't have a Bible." He just slammed the door. Now, I know what it's like to be a JW and get the door slammed on your face. In one way, he was right. "Where's your Bible?" Now, I did have a slight opportunity to say, "Well, I have the Bible on my phone, and I have Matthew's gospel." But for a JW, that wasn't enough. He just slammed the door. That was his way out. But it is true. Where's your Bible? And how we need to be equipped that we can stand up for truth and righteousness in these days. Because God has given us a weapon, and we must be learned to use it. And that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have doctrinal classes in our adult Sunday school. That's why we have Bible studies, prayer meetings. That's why we have the preaching of the word. Sunday evenings we have usually messages that take us through whole books of the Bible. The job of the church is to be equipped to withstand the world. It's a spiritual weapon, but it's very effective. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We also have the weapon of prayer. What a mighty weapon this is, that we can call in all the resources of heaven, that when we're in trouble and when we are in need, we just cry to God that He will come as our deliverer. He can send His angels, He can send His Spirit, He can deliver us out of any situation. And if there's ever a day when the Church of Jesus Christ needed to know how to pray, it's this generation. And we need, by God's grace, to teach our children how to pray. We need to make them to understand what it is to wield the sword of the Spirit and the weapon of prayer. Are we doing that? I fear that the Church of the Lord Jesus has fallen asleep in the battle. And we're hunkered down in the very ramparts of the battlefield, but we haven't learned how to pray. Every home should be a home of prayer. Every gospel church should be a place where prayer is mighty and hot for God and pleading with God to visit the Church of the Lord Jesus. Because after all, God said, the Lord said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And it is through the weapon of this word and through the power of prayer that we become effective. We get that wisdom that we need and that spiritual power that enables us to overcome. Now, number three, the Lord delights in your dove-like helplessness. Can you imagine that? The Lord delights in our own helplessness. Look at this verse again. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." What is this dove doing? Where is it? "My dove, that art in the clefts of the rock," hiding. And the Lord invites this dove to come out. He wants to see her. He wants to hear her. He wants to commune with her. And the Lord delights in our helplessness as well. The hymn writer has taken up this, of course, and created some wonderful hymns, making the Lord, the Rock of Ages, cleft for us. And our prayer is, "Let me hide myself in thee." This is the posture of the dove, the dove-like Christian. We learn to hide and find our refuge in the Lord. We run to the wounds of the Lord Jesus. We go to the place of refuge and the place of hiding, the place of mercy. But the glory of it is that this delights our Savior. Do you know that? Let's find our peace and our very rest in this. The only way I can think to illustrate this is for a person to study to become a doctor, perhaps a missionary doctor, and go out into a third world, a needy place, with all his medical knowledge and medicines, but the people won't come to him. And perhaps the witch doctor has brainwashed and intimidated the local population and saying, "This white doctor, he is Dr. Death. If you go to him, you'll die." And of course, the devil has done that to the population of this world. The Lord Jesus is out to destroy your fun. The Lord Jesus is out to destroy your life. And if you become a Christian, it'll just ruin you. That's the lie of the devil. But you think of the Lord Jesus and all his graces and all his love and all his mercy to sinners, but they will not come to him. He went to the cross. He died for their sins. He rose again for our justification. He now sits in glory to intercede. And he bids men, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But they won't come. They won't come. And here he says to his dove, his bride, his church, "Come out of the cleft of the rock. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance." Now, while the defenseless one will hide and take refuge, the Lord wants you to hide in him. The Lord wants you to have that close, daily, wonderful experience of finding your all in all in him. Are you doing that? Are you discovering the sufficiency, the willingness, the readiness of the Lord to keep you, cover you, and be with you each and every day? Come with your emptiness. Come with your confessions of failure and sin. Come with your mourning. as the dove would come mournfully with her voice of complaint, you come to him with all your burdens and all your cares. The Lord's never weary of your coming. Now we know that none of us like complainers. There's some people in the world, and every time you meet them, you're almost afraid to ask, how are you? Because you'll get a whole load of care. But the Lord invites us to cast our care upon him, for he truly cares for us. We are the neediest people in the world. We are the most helpless people in this world because we are totally dependent upon our Lord. And he bids us come. He bids us find our very grace in him. The Lord has a church. The Lord has his people. The Lord has his means of grace. And he calls you to the place of communion and fellowship with him. Let us redouble our efforts to always enter into the courts of the Lord. Let us redouble our efforts to praise him, to be a man and woman of prayer, to be a church that avails ourselves of the very weapons the Lord has given us and the grace that he promises. And may we have this ministry of the Spirit in our lives, changing us more and more into that dove-like nature. I close with this little poem, selected from I know not where, but these words sum this up so well. Just to be tender, just to be true, just to be glad the whole day through, just to be merciful, just to be mild, just to be trustful as a child, just to be gentle and kind and sweet, just to be helpful with willing feet, just to be cheery when things go wrong, just to drive sadness away with song, whether the hour is dark or bright, just to be loyal to God and right, just to believe that God knows best, just in his promise ever to rest, just to let love be our daily key. That is God's will for you and me. Maybe a dove wrote that. Certainly it was a dove-like Christian who wrote those words. May they be true in our lives. And may we be changed more and more into a dove-like Christian. Oh, my dove, let those words of your Savior ring in your ears today. Oh, my dove.